This setting of scripture finds Paul and Silas. Thank you, Devin. You're good. Give Devin a hand. Praise God. This setting of scripture finds Paul and Silas in spreading the gospel of Jesus and teaching people. Now, this is where we miss it. This new doctrine. Most of us, we heard of Christianity, we heard of Jesus Christ, crucifixion, all that stuff. Now listen, this was new to them. This doctrine of being saved by grace through faith, through the new birth application of repenting after you put your faith in him, being baptized in Jesus' name and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And we'll say amen. It was new, obviously, to Gentile people who had no connection to the Old Testament or God. But it was also new to Jewish people. In the previous chapter, and I'm setting up the text here, so stay with me. In Acts 15, verse 5, we see that there was a conflict going on with this new doctrine. There will always be conflict in church. Amen. Amen. We're not going to pretend at Lighthouse Church that we are a perfect church. I am never going to pretend that I am a perfect pastor or you're looking at perfect people. We got problems like any other church. We got things we deal with like anybody else because we are human beings. And there will be conflict in the church, but we have to understand scripturally how to deal with conflict in the church. There's always a right way to settle things when there are disputes or disagreements in the church. And what they did was they called for the elders of the church to deal with the issue that was going on. You say, Pastor, what was the issue? Stay with me here. We'll be in Acts 15, verse 5. The Bible says, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees. So there were a specific religious group of people that were still going on at that time, and they were there, of course, during Jesus' earthly ministry, and they could not stand Jesus. And there rose a sect of Pharisees, but these particular Pharisees are actually believers. These are Pharisees that were converted, and they finally put their faith in Jesus Christ because of the power of the resurrection. If you have no other reason to truly believe in what we believe here, it's because we are the only religion that believes that God was able to raise someone up from the dead. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. He is a risen Savior. Again, we're saying that with excitement because if God had the power to raise somebody up from the dead, that gives me courage and faith today that no matter what I'm facing, God can do it. God can do anything. If God can bring someone out of a grave, then God can pick me up out of my mess. Whatever you are dealing with, Jesus Christ is alive and has the authority and the power to do something about what you are dealing with. And so those Pharisees said, we understand that he is a risen Savior, but our issue in verse 5 is that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Please stay with me. The Pharisees who hated Jesus, many now have been converted to believe in Jesus, but they say, whoa, wait a second. We can believe in him, but we still need to tell all the Gentile people in this new religion to go ahead and follow the law of Moses. Verse 6, that was the issue. That was a conflict. That was a misunderstanding. They wanted to all come to some sort of a consensus. And the apostles, verse 6 said, the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. They didn't just push it off. They said, let's come together. Let's talk about it. Let's consider what we need to do. And after much deliberation and Peter making his case, again, the case of Peter was sent, right, in a vision to go to Cornelius' house. Long story short, Cornelius was a Gentile person. And while Peter is preaching and teaching him the gospel of Jesus Christ, right in the middle, I say, of their living room, praise God, Cornelius and his whole household began to speak in other tongues as they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, I cannot hinder you to be baptized. And so he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Anytime you see anyone baptized in the Bible, it was always baptized in the authority, the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord of all. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is power in the name of Jesus, and we will never stop preaching the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's hope in the name of Jesus. There's love in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. The word Jesus literally means Jehovah has become our Savior. I'm so glad that not only he is the I Am, but he said, I'm going to reveal in the New Testament what is my name. And someone shout his name this morning.
Jesus.
Praise God. So Peter brought forth his case and said, I don't know how to explain it, but God is filling even Gentile people with the Holy Ghost. He is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what your background is, what your last name is, what country you're from, what color you are. Jesus wants to live inside of every one of us. Jesus wants to change everybody. Jesus wants to help everybody. If you are here, Jesus wants to help you. He wants to touch you. I don't care what your background, how much money you have or don't have. It does not matter. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and realize that there's joy for everybody in the presence of Almighty God. And Peter saw that. So Peter said, here is what I see. In verse 19, James, who was the leader of the church at that time, Jesus' brother, verse 19 is very important for us to get. Verse 19 of chapter 15. Wherefore, my sentence is this. So this is my answer, he says. That we trouble not them, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, that is sexual relationships outside the bond of marriage. That is a part of living correct in the eyes of God. And from things strangled and from blood. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 of Acts 15. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls. That sound like positive or negative? Sounds negative, right? Trouble you with words, subverting your souls to what? Saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law. It says this, to whom we gave no such commandment. What James said in his disclosure, he's saying it is not necessary for us to lay on the law of Moses and the operation of being circumcised as an act of separation for these new Gentile people in this new religion we call Christianity. It is not necessary. It is troublesome. What he did not say, that if somebody wants to follow it, that they cannot. They can if they want to. He's just saying you cannot mandate it in New Testament. Are you staying with me? I'm building a foundation. He says, we gave no such commandment. Now verse 29, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from the blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye do well, fare you well. So here's the point, verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. Pastor Paul, what are you talking about? Listen to me. I'm leading up to verse or chapter 16. There was an issue in the church about circumcision and the law of Moses. So they came together with the church elders and said, what are we going to do? And the answer was, we're not going to tell them that they have to follow the law of Moses. So here is a letter. Go take this letter and go transfer to all the churches, Paul, that you have started, and make sure you tell them, including the Pharisees, that it's not necessary to continue to follow the law of Moses anymore. Are you with me? So Paul and Barnabas were supposed to take this letter, make it official to the churches they started, that they don't have to follow this, because the gospel was a place of transition from the old covenant to the new covenant, from the old way to what Jesus says, my blood has taken away all the things that the law needed, or Jesus Christ's blood fulfilled the law. So what I want here to notice is that the church, again, was in transition. The church and Jewish people. This is because, again, all of this was new to them. It was a new thing going on. And Jesus is showing them the new covenant I'm giving to you, that I am the one that saves you. You cannot be saved by your works. In fact, you could never be saved by your works, because you could never live up to following works correctly. All right. Now, this was difficult, because while many good things were happening on one end, people are believing. People are being converted. Lives are moving in the right direction. People are always going to be against you when you start to move in the right direction. There is always going to be opposition when revival begins to stir. And that's why it is so important. Here, Paul and Silas and Barnabas were doing a work of God. And in the middle of the church progressing, in the middle of God orchestrating great things, there's always going to be opposition. And the reason why I bring this up, we're talking about this year is going to be a year of us thriving and going further in the kingdom of God. I want you to get ready, like you always say, praise God, when you go to new levels, there are new devils. But let me tell you, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. In fact, the way I look at it is, the more opposition I have, the more I know I'm in the will of God. I must be anointed if the devil's trying to take me out. Are you going through a storm right now? You might be in the right place. Are you going through an issue right now? You might be exactly where God wants you to be. Because anytime you are progressing, there is going to be opposition. And so allow opposition to tell you, I must be doing something right. Don't allow the devil to lie to you that because you're going through a test and through a storm, you must be doing something wrong. Because when you think that way, you'll stop trying. Keep on pushing. Things are about to break. Keep on, come on somebody. Keep on saying, I know I'm in the hand of God and I believe in the will of God. And so as we get to our text in chapter 16, we get to verse 16 and we see Paul has to deal with a woman who was possessed with a spirit of divination. Pretty much she was being annoying. And through her spirits that were in her, her masters made a lot of money. But Paul had about enough of that spirit and commanded in the name of Jesus Christ for it to come out of her. Let me tell you, if you got a spirit that's driving you crazy, let me tell you about the authority of the name of Jesus. You got things going on in your mind you can't shake. Let me tell you, you thought you don't have power. You do have power. Invoke the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus can let your mind be pure. The name of Jesus can give you hope and give you a surety. The name of Jesus will tell you that there's nothing greater than the name of Almighty God. And so he spoke the name of Jesus and that spirit had to leave. What's been driving you crazy? Speak the name of Jesus over it. What problem you've been dealing with? Speak the name of Jesus over it. There is no anxiety. There is no depression and there is no oppression that can stop somebody that say, I know I'm going through a trial right now, but I know what name I need to call. Somebody should put your hand over your head if you are dealing with something and say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. I will speak the name of Jesus over my anxiety, over my worry, over, come on somebody, we're apostolic. We believe in this
We ain't playing church. We know there's power in the name of Jesus. I speak deliverance over a mind that has been tormented, that has been heavy laden, that has so much worry and fear. Set up free right now in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Power in the name of Jesus. Someone he had authority. God gave to him to set someone free. Someone was made different that day. Someone was delivered that day. It was great. But even though something is great for one person, a lot of times it becomes a problem for somebody else. Her masters saw they had lost their cash cow because of her deliverance. Somebody might not like the direction you're headed.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Somebody's relationship is going to change because you're going in the right way, and everybody's not wanting you to go the right way because it affects them in a negative way. But is there anybody that says, I'm not going backwards. I'm moving forward to what God has for me. I'm not letting somebody steal what God is bringing me up out of. I'm going to go where God needs to take me. If you don't like it, baby, I'm sorry. You go get left behind, but I'm going somewhere in the kingdom of God. She didn't care that she lost money for others. She said, I'm headed towards the highway of God's blessing and God's favor. But everybody's not going to like your progress. Everybody's not going to be excited about you walking an overcomer. They're going to say, why are you being a Bible thumper? Say, I'm a thump on the word of God because it's what got me out. It wasn't myself. It was the goodness of God. You think you got here because of your goodness? No. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I would still be lost. And do I got some X something in there? Are there some X's in here? I said, are there some past sinners in the house that says, if it had not been for the grace of Almighty God, I'm thankful for the blood. I'm thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ. So they were upset being Jews. They said, these guys are troubling our city. They teach customs that are not lawful for us to receive. And they beat Paul and they beat Silas. Why? Paul and Silas was delivering the word of God to other people. You're trying to do the right thing and yet you get beat up. Am I talking to anybody? You're trying to act right, do right, live right. And in the middle of that, more persecution comes your way. I remind you, you just might be in the hand of God. God just might be setting you up for something. And so I'm going to talk to you about midnight praise. Woo, for the Holy Ghost, let me slow down. I told you all this because I want us to see that in places of transition, in places of growth, in places of advancement, there is going to be opposition. People and things that want to stop you from doing what you are called to do. Again, Paul and Silas are walking in their calling, being effective, giving hope to someone, and it causes problems for them. I'm not complaining this morning, but there's great responsibilities coming as a man and woman of God. But I can accept it because that means I'm in the will of God. And you can accept things you go through saying it don't matter what I'm going through, so long as I'm in the will of God. How do they cross over in the middle of the storm? Jesus told them to get in the boat. As long as Jesus is with me, I don't care how much the wind blows. I don't care how large the waves are. I don't care how loud I hear the thundering and how bright the lightnings. I see Jesus sleeping. Everything will be all right. As long as Jesus and his presence is with you, everything will be all right. I know you're going through a test. I know you're going through a trial. But Jesus is right there by your side. And he said, I will never leave nor forsake you. So as you are transitioning towards what God is shifting you into, there's going to be opposition. Those that don't like the new you. A lot of new people here in the church. Your friends might stop liking you. Don't be surprised. It's all right. God's trying to take you to a higher level. And there's always a crab barrel mentality that I don't want you to go up. I want you to stay where I'm at. Shake yourself and say, I can't stay here anymore. Shake yourself and say, I feel a calling. I feel a pulling. I can't even help myself. The same desires, I don't even have them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't even want to do them no more. Why? Because when I felt the presence of God, there was no regret afterwards. Oh, come and taste and see the Lord. He is good. And when you taste Jesus, that want is not there for the world anymore. What did Jesus say to the woman at the well? If you knew the water that I had to give. But there's some people here that's already tasted of the water. There's people here that says, yeah, that's right. I seen the whole hand of God. I don't walk like I used to walk. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't think how I used to think. There's something that got a hold of me. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you thankful for the true Spirit of God? That when the Spirit gets moving, I go a little higher. When the Spirit is moving, I go a little deeper. When the Spirit is moving, I feel something come over me. I can't keep it to myself. When the anointing of God shows up, hallelujah! His power is so real. I can feel it in my soul. I'm not playing church. I know what he's done in me. I know what he's doing in me. I know he's molding me. I know he's changing me. Somebody could say, if you knew me even 5 months ago, you would see why I'm praising. If you knew me 3 years ago, you would know why I'm praising. If you saw me messed up in my mind, you would not question why my hands are raised, why my mouth is open. I almost lost my mind. But when I got in the presence of God, I almost gave up. I'm almost through the towel. But something got a hold of me. The power. So, as you are transitioning, as you are moving forward, and as there's opposition, the times. So, I'm not trying to hype you up, are going to get hard. I'm walking in my calling, and things are getting harder. I see myself with Paul and Silas. When the dark time comes, this is the word of the Lord for you. The word of the Lord for you today is, know how to give a midnight praise. Midnights are the darkest of times. Midnights are very lonely, isolated places. midnights are the moments of not seeing clearly because of all the darkness that surrounds you. We're not talking about things going right. We're talking about darkness and problems all around. We're talking about things that surround you. Midnights are places where you feel stuck. You feel sick. Midnights are places where you feel you are trapped. Midnights are places where things are scary. Midnights are the places where you truly wish you were not there. Midnights are the times where your kids are going astray. Midnights are the times where your health is deteriorating. Midnights are the times you feel lost and without direction. Midnights are the times when you feel that you are doing what you're doing the best that you can, but it's not getting where you want to go. Midnights are times where you have put forth your best efforts and things still don't work out the way you thought that they should. But let me tell you something. Midnight is the darkest times before the transitioning over to morning. Midnight is the darkest time before the transition into morning. Midnight is the times where morning comes, but you can't see the light. Technically, midnight is the next day. Please hear me. Technically, midnight is the morning. But midnight is the morning that's still dark. We automatically think that midnight or mornings is when that sun rises. But the morning actually happens at night. Stay with me here. We all have heard weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But midnight, many times, is not the reality. Or midnight, let me say it this way, is actually the reality that morning is here, but things have not changed. Come on, somebody. The morning is here, but it's still dark. The morning is here, but I still don't see my next step. The morning is here and I'm still hurting. I'm still suffering. Things in reality hasn't changed no matter how much I've hyped it up. I'm still in the night. I'm still frustrated. Am I being honest with anybody? I know we're church people. I know we got a smile on our face, but does anybody ever feel frustrated? Anybody ever been in the house of God and you want to magnify God but you're frustrated? I'm going to talk to you about a midnight praise. I'm going to talk to you about I'm frustrated and I'm still wondering and I still have questions and everything has not come to my revelation. But the Bible says in Acts 16 verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and that is where the power was. They began to sing at the darkest hour. They gave praises in their midnight. I am wanting to teach this church that, like in scripture, we need to release the power of a midnight praise. I've heard many times, and I preach it myself many times, about giving God an advance praise. I'm going to tell you there's a difference between an advance praise and a midnight praise. An advance praise is because you had already got the answer that God says I'm going to give you. An advance praise was Joshua and the children of Israel. Well, Joshua, it's easy to give an advance praise because you got a word that if you would march around the walls of Jericho, that I am going to give you a city. And so they had much hope to praise God in advance because they had a word of promise. I'm not talking about that this morning. And I pray somebody's getting what I'm saying right now. I'm not talking about an advance praise. I'm talking about a midnight praise. When I say midnight praise, they had no promise of their release. It's easy to praise God when there's a certain level of expectation and you just know that God already gave you a word. But what about when you don't have a word? Are you still going to praise God? Yeah. I'm talking about a midnight praise. That means your stocks and your bands are all over you, and you're all beat up, and you're all disgusted. And with all that being said, you've been doing the right thing, and God had not spoke one word to you that you're coming out. Are you still going to give God a midnight praise when there's still a mess? Are you still going to magnify the Lord when there's still problems? Are you going to give God a midnight praise? An inner prison is a place you can't get out of. You're in the lower level. An inner prison is a place of complete limitation of what you can do yourself and where you're in. An inner prison is a place where you are currently at and you don't think you deserve to be there. There are people here right now, you're so frustrated in life because you're in a place you never thought you should be or deserve to be. You got kids who are sick. You got families that are turned upside down. Am I talking to any real people here today? Your finances are messed up. Your health is messed up. Your marriage is messed up. Am I talking to myself today? You feel like you're in shackles. And really, you cannot give an advance praise because you don't have no expectation of things changing. The only natural reaction we do is cry, complain, and pout. We're human beings. That's what we do. We cry, we complain, and we pout. Why am I in the prison? Why am I going through a storm? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? But the verse 25 says, and at midnight, while they were beaten, while they were in shackles, and while they were in chains, they weren't pouting, they weren't complaining, they weren't crying. They said, I don't know if we're ever even coming out. In fact, contextually, I don't even see them praising God in order to receive the deliverance. They said, whether I get deliverance or not is not even the question. The question is, I will choose to praise God in my midnight moments. What can the devil do with somebody that's going through hell and high water and yet they still have a hallelujah on the inside of them? What can the devil do to somebody? He put all kind of tests and trials in your way and you still come in the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. In my pain, in my shackle, in my frustration, I'm still going to magnify the Lord. I'm not going to praise him just in advance for what I know he's going to do. I'm going to praise him just because I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him in my midnight. If you want to praise God in your midnight, clap your hands today. Hallelujah. A midnight praise is a praise with no attachments to it. No promises attached to it. A midnight praise is a praise that makes no sense. It's praising God when your world is a mess. We all are going to shout when we get to heaven. We're all going to shout when a great healing takes place. Somebody gets baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. We're all going to praise God in those moments. When you get your raise, when things change in your home, we're all going to praise God along with you. And that's a normal praise. But I'm looking for somebody that knows how to give God a midnight praise. My whole world's messed up. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. But I will bless the Lord at all times. The prisoners heard them. I know when we say we heard them, we think about just hearing something like singing loudly. But I don't think it's a stretch to say that they didn't just hear them because they had ears or they were loud. The Greek word here for heard could also mean they were listening to them. What I'm saying is the prisoners heard them because the prisoners were listening because it was something they weren't accustomed to hearing. When you listen rather to something than just hear it. You are intently focused upon it. Why? Because in these conditions, who would be crazy enough to be singing? So the prisoners heard them because they were listening, as we've never heard anybody come through these walls praising. Most people come in here talking about how innocent they are, how they should not be where they're at, and how they whine, complain, and doubt why they're going through it. And so when somebody was not doing that, and someone was singing praises, it got their attention. You need to get somebody's attention this morning and say, I'm going through trouble, but you ain't gonna know it. I'm going through a trial, but you ain't gonna know it. I'm going through some pain, but you ain't gonna know it. I'm not here to cry and complain. I'm here to give God praise. I know how to praise him in all times. But here is what begins to happen, and here is the revelation. I know you're used to hearing me complain, you're used to hearing me moan about the pain I'm in because of the hopelessness I found myself in, and I'm going through something, I'm in a midnight situation, and yet I hear praising. When that happens, we get to verse 26, and suddenly, the word suddenly means unexpectedly, which means I didn't even know it was coming, but I praise God anyway. But what God is going to see is things in a new perspective. I know you wasn't praising God to get delivered, but I'm going to deliver you anyway because you learn how to praise me at midnight. I did not come in expectation. I showed up suddenly. What am I trying to tell somebody? That as you learn to praise God in your midnight, God is going to suddenly show up when you're least expected. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. You don't know how or when. Oh Lord, but when you praise God at midnight, let me show you, he gonna show up and he gonna show out and he gonna shake stuff you didn't even know could be shaken. He gonna move things you didn't even think could be moved when you give God a midnight praise. The Bible says there was suddenly a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaking. Let me tell you what an earthquake is. I'm from California, as well as Eugene, praise God, and Patsy, and Sister Barlow and Jonathan. And we understand that when an earthquake happens, it is underneath the ground. There's a shifting that's going on that you can't see. There's things deeper than what your natural level is. And so what I'm saying, when you give God a midnight praise, there's something under the surface that's about to shift. There's something you can't see that God is working on, and you ain't gonna get it until you learn how to praise him in your midnight. You ain't gonna get your shifting until you bless him in your nighttime. You ain't getting your answer until you say, whether he does it or not, I'm still going to praise his name. I'm still going to magnify the name of Jesus. So a shifting happens. The shift took place that dealt with the foundations. When you begin to give God a midnight praise, he is going to deal with the foundational things that have locked you up. Please hear me. Too many times we deal with things on a surface level. Your issue is not the person around you. The issue is not your bank account. The issue is not your job. There's something foundational that has not been dealt with that constantly causes you to be locked up. And sometimes we feel like we don't know how to release it. And we feel like we're hopeless. And we don't have an answer to truly break out of cycles. What I see here in the Word of God, for us to deal with deeper issues, deeper mental problems, deeper physical things that we feel like we can't break out of, is actually in our praise. How are you going to get that true breakthrough? How are you going to truly get out of those same cycles and addictions you've been in? You have to learn how to break forth into a praise. The devil wants to keep all of us down with depression. Am I talking to anybody? He wants to keep us so heavy laden down with trivial issues. He wants to keep us locked up and complain because we are hurting and we're in pain and we feel like we can't break out of the same routine cycles. And we're saying, God, what is the solution? God, what is the answer? God, how do I get my breakthrough and my joy? But what I see here in Scripture, the way the foundations are loose in your life is when you learn how to loose yourself and praise God like you lost your mind. Praise God like it don't make any sense. Praise God when your life is in turmoil. Praise God in your mess. And learn how to magnify the name of God in the middle of your midnight. All right, I've got to wrap this up. What I see in Scripture, they praise God in the middle of being shackled. Too many people are waiting to praise God after they're free.
Right.
And you keep asking God, free me, free me, free me, free me, free me. But in Scripture, they didn't say free me. They just praised. I don't see them saying, okay, Paul, Silas, now we want deliverance, right? All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to sing praises. No, no, no. Some of you need heavy deliverance. I'm giving you the solution. It's praise. Praise looks funny. Praise gets me out of my comfort zone. I deal with drunk people a lot doing Uber. I see them in the daytime, they're all calm and quiet and collected and sober. But when they get drunk, they act a fool. Because at that point, they don't care. In the New Testament church, when the Holy Ghost came, people thought they were drunk. They weren't drunk as you suppose, but they didn't care because the Spirit began to take over. You want some strongholds to happen, then you gotta move your flesh out of the way and let your Spirit take over. Last thought. When they praised, the foundations were shaken. Root issues were taken care of. But what I noticed was their shackles didn't come off first. The doors were open first. God is telling us, when you give me a midnight praise, not only am I going to break up some foundations, I'm not going to unlock your shackles first. Because if I unlock your shackles first, then you begin to go back to yourself and say, okay, and how do I get myself to open the door? So God says, I'm going to keep you shackled and then show you the open door. Before you get your complete deliverance, God will give you a glimpse of where you're going to be headed in your freedom. So you know it's Him. And then once the doors are open, the access to deliverance happened. Then not only were their bands loose, everyone's bands came on. The kind of lighthouse church we are is we don't want just a few getting delivered. Canaan, I appreciate your praise. Landon, I appreciate your praise. Kylene, the rest of you, I appreciate your praise. But I hope it's what your praise that unlocks your issues, but then it becomes contagious and it looses everybody's bands. Do you want just your bands loose, or do you want everyone's bands loose? What we're going to do right now is something different. I want you to stand on your feet. Get that altar call song ready. And iTunes, and begin to play that song in iTunes right now. Hallelujah. And what we're going to do is something we haven't done before. Turn it up. I want you to lose yourself. I want you to lose your mind. I want you to give God a praise. Maybe you're going to move out in the aisle, but somebody has to say, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, and His praise will be in my mouth. Come on, get out of the aisles and